Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Then turning to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me. O God of my salvation, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I'm confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all those that are part of our listening family today. Thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. And thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us. Thank you for those we've lifted up in prayer today and yesterday as well. And thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of our lives. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot because we have set our love upon you. Therefore, you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life, you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much that you chose, that you gave your only Son, that you have so much grace and mercy to make people like us who just love you and are so broken your resting place. Father, thank you so much for resting with us. Thank you for inviting us into your rest. And thank you for the joy and the peace and the life that you bring. Father, thank you so much for being our provider, for being our protector, and for being our defender. Father, thank you for being our best friend. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. For those of you that listen on a pretty regular basis, many of you, our listeners, will know that my wife, Birdie, and I, we're on the board of the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. This is a mobile medical pregnancy ministry that serves in the Mississippi Delta. I want to invite you as a part of our listening family to do this, to put two important events, one happening this week, the other one happening next week. Please put them on your prayer list. We're asking and we're inviting you to pray with us for them. Both of these are ministry events, but also they're events that are also fundraising events for our pregnancy ministry. The first one is an event called Walk Through the Bible, and it's an event that I really enjoy getting a chance to do them. It's basically a little over a two-hour seminar that takes you all the way through the Old Testament in a little bit more than a two-hour setting. It's an exciting seminar, and it's one that helps you see how that the Bible is one story that strings all together. And you know how, for some people, their reading of the Bible, especially the Old Testament, their thoughts, it's kind of like a jumbled-up closet where they don't see how one thing is connected to the other. Well, in a sense, this seminar helps put it all in neat and an orderly fashion to see how, again, that all of God's Word is one story, the story of God, our Heavenly Father, how He loved the world, and when, after man sinned, He made a way for us to be saved and spend eternity with Him. So again, that event's going to happen Wednesday the 13th, tonight, and Thursday the 14th in Greenville, Mississippi. The church is Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church. The pastor's Dr. Mark Hines, and the address is 217 3rd Street in Greenville, Mississippi. If you're in that vicinity or you just want to make it your business to come, we invite you to be there again, 6 o'clock each of these two evenings. And it's a seminar that uses kinetic learning, which helps make it a really fun event. So it's good for adults and it's good for children as well. And as I said, it's a fun event that helps you see how the Bible is one story, and it's a seminar that helps set you on fire with a passion to read the Word of God every day and to live it every day as well. So if you don't think you can make it, we ask that you pray for the Lord to anoint the event and that the Holy Spirit would do a life-changing work in the heart of every attendee. Again, Wednesday, November 13th, and Thursday, November 14th. If you can be with us, we invite you to. But either way, if you'll pray with us, we very much appreciate that. And then next week, we have coming up, our Christian drama group is producing our stage play entitled Rev Riding in the Hood. It's a comedy drama that covers the Ten Commandments. It's an event that it's fun to watch, but at the same time, and has a fun storyline to it. But also, it's a discipleship event as well. It's a high-impact event through which the gospel is shared, and also it speaks to the life issue very, very directly, but it does cover the Ten Commandments. That date is Wednesday, November 20th. Again, Wednesday, November 20th. That's going to happen at Brown Baptist Church, their South Campus in South Haven, Mississippi. That address is 7200 Swinney Road, again, South Haven, Mississippi. And again, that's 7 p.m. on that day, Wednesday, November the 20th. If you can come out and be a part of that, we would like to invite you to come. And both of these events, in part, are also fundraising events for our mobile pregnancy ministry. And if you don't foresee that you'll make it, again, please pray for both events. And also, but if you'd like to make a contribution to help us with this important work, we invite you to do that as well. So again, the title of the Christian play, Rev Riding in the Hood, a Christian stage play, and the monies will go for the stage play. The monies will go to help both the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry and the CARE Pregnancy Center in South Haven. Two different clinics will benefit financially from this event. Again, that's Wednesday, November 20th at 7 p.m. at the Brown Baptist Church South Campus, 7200 Swinney Road, South Haven, Mississippi, 38671. Hope that you can come. The tickets to that stage play are $10, of the suggested amount, $10. Let me just say this too. Praise God for the many things God has done for us as a nation and continues to do. One of the tragedies that we see in our culture and our nation is that on an ongoing basis, sadly, it continues to be legal to murder precious babies in the wombs of their mothers in our nation. We want to invite every single listener to make it your goal to pray the Ten Commandments every day and pray for the ending of legal abortion in our nation. It's important to understand that it's never right to do abortion is just another word for first-degree murder. And for persons that say, well, that's a harsh way to put it. You know, sometimes the truth can sound harsh, but the fact is God's word tells us in one of the Ten Commandments very clearly, you shall not murder. There are no exceptions. It's against the word and the will of God. And it's important to understand that we're not to in any way try to tell God that he was wrong, because obviously God's always right. So we invite and encourage you to make it your goal to pray for the ending of legalized abortion in our nation and in our culture. And may you as an individual believer and you and your family and your church family make it a goal to help bring that to pass, doing whatever God is calling you to do as well. We're going to take time now to pray specifically the Ten Commandments. Thank you, Lord, for us as the church. And thank you for us as a nation. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're very honored to have as our phone guest today, Emmanuel and Camille Camporis. They're the lead producers of the movie that's soon to be in theaters, Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Spy, and Assassin. Emmanuel and Camille, how are you all today?
We're very well, thank you.
It's wonderful to be here.
An honor to have you all to come on, and I'm going to ask you to go ahead and further introduce yourselves. And on the broadcast today, part of our goal is to both give you the opportunity to share both about, obviously about the movie, when it will be and how people can see it, but also I want to invite you to share some about your journey and how the Lord led you to make this movie and this project as well. So at this time, I want to invite you to further introduce yourselves and dive right into sharing about the journey that led up to the making of the movie. And when we come to a break, we'll just pick up on the other side, but go right ahead.
Well, I'm Emmanuel Camporis. I praise the Lord because I met my first wife passed away many years ago, and I met my second wife in church. I'm a businessman and she's a performer. So it's unlikely that we meet elsewhere, and we met in church then, and we are thanking the Lord every day, and we've been married for over 33 years and going, and we're wonderful. It's a wonderful partnership because we do a lot of gospel ministry together.
Yes, I was a performer actually on Sesame Street, and we met at a church in Manhattan. And it's been, as my husband says, it's been a wonderful partnership. You know, I thought God had singleness for me. And I remember praying, Lord, if I can serve you better with a husband, then send me a husband. But if I can serve you better alone as a single woman, that's what I want to be.
Camille, I'm going to jump in right here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side of the break. Our phone guests today are Emmanuel and Camille Camporis. They're the lead producers of the movie Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Spy, Assassin. We'll be right back.
To meet you in this place. face to face, will you show me? Reveal yourself to me because of your mercy. And I can feel your presence here with me. Suddenly I'm lost within your beauty. Caught up in the wonder of your touch. Here in this moment I surrender to your love.
Music of Mercy Me with Here With Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests today are Emmanuel and Camille Kamporis. They're the lead producers in the movie, soon to be released in theaters, the movie entitled Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Spy, Assassin. And Emmanuel and Camille, we're honored to have big-time Hollywood producers like you all who produced all those many, many movies. Well, I'm just kidding. I want to invite you to go ahead and share how you got started with the making of the movie in view of the fact that this is it was a first-time experience and journey for you. Dive right in and share how the Lord led you to do this movie.
Well, very interesting. Our journey started when I read a book about Bonhoeffer in 2010. Mm-hmm. At that time, I'd never heard about Bonhoeffer and was very inspired by his story. Mm-hmm. After a few years, we noticed that there was no good movie made about this man. Mm-hmm. So we decided to invest in the script and felt that we'd write a good script, and then that we had to do it ourselves, because if we allowed Hollywood to write a script, then they would gut the faith. Mm-hmm. This is the last thing we wanted to happen. Mm-hmm. So we started this, and we spent a lot of time trying to get a script, and then we said we'll get a script and then hand it over to a filmmaker. These are famous last words, because it took us 7 years to get to a script, 3 screenwriters and 2 script doctors. Mm-hmm. And finally, after that, we did get a script. Now, we began just to get a script and as I said, to give it to a filmmaker to make it. But mm-hmm. again, we felt it was a calling for us to continue. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so we continued on this journey.
Yeah, it took about 12 years to make the movie. It is our first movie, maybe our last. That would be okay. We didn't start out to make it, but this is not a career move. Mm-hmm. This was a mission for us. And the reason we were attracted to Bonhoeffer when we read the book, so he was a pastor. This is a World War II story. Mm-hmm. And he was a pastor very young. He spoke out first against the church in Germany, which was doing nothing to help this rise of evil. They were actually trying to preserve their influence, preserve their power as a church, and kind of get along with this new charismatic leader who was Hitler. And Bonhoeffer right away was saying, which we can't. He's saying outrageous things. He wants the church to swear allegiance to him, and, he wants to take over the church. And one of the things that changed Bonhoeffer's life was he was brilliant. He was a pianist, a great pianist as well. And he was, at the age of 22, too young to be ordained in Germany. You had to be ordained at 25. So they said, well, why don't you go to New York and study for a year? So he goes to New York, and this is 1930. This is before Hitler takes power. He takes power in 1933. And we in America have segregation. And Bonhoeffer arrives in America and is just shocked at segregation, at the cruelty of it, the injustice of it. And in the seminary, because this is New York, so there was still a mixture occasionally of races in a place like a seminary. He met an African-American and he befriended him. And the seminary had very liberal theology. He wasn't happy with it. So the his friend, Frank Fisher, said, you know, why don't you come visit my church? Why don't you come to Harlem? Mm-hmm. So he goes to Abyssinian Baptist Church, which is still there, as you may know. And this is where this great theologian, he later says, this is where he became a Christian. He mm-hmm. says, I was a theologian, but then I became a Christian, meaning that the head knowledge went to his heart. He mm-hmm. saw people who were suffering, and yet they had this vibrant faith, this great love for the Lord, even though they were being carved out of American society and, you know, treated like second-class citizens. Mm-hmm. And so that really changed his life, and he goes back. And that's what's really the reason why he was able to speak out. You know, he in America, he saw signs that said no blacks allowed. He goes back to Germany, and 2 years later, he said he sees these signs, no Jews allowed. Mm-hmm. So it was really that Harlem experience. You know, a lot of people do not talk about the Harlem experience. They don't understand it. Mm-hmm. They don't know quite what went on, but we make that is really our premise. That is what changed his life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fascinating story. He goes back. He shows so much courage. I know my husband was very, well, you can speak to that, man, on the courage.
Well, he exemplifies courage. And he made several statements. He has to speak for those who have no voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he coined several statements, like silence in the face of evil, it's itself evil. Mm-hmm. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. For those who will, and he will, those who will speak the truth without fear, no matter the cost. So, he was very brave, but the Lord, you know, he was so much influenced by God and by Jesus.
And the Word, he's just
and the Word. He studied the Word daily, every day, and
meditated on it.
So it gave him, and he was a very courageous man, despite all the evil that was around him.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that we loved about his story is he spoke for those, he believed that a Christian had to speak for those who had no voice. And, mm-hmm. Pastor, I was very taken with your plea and your heart to end abortion. Because back in 2012, when we started this movie 12 years ago,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that moved us was the desire to speak for those who have no voice. And for us back then, it was really the unborn.
Mm-hmm.
And to a lesser degree, certainly they're not being murdered, but to a lesser degree, the elderly who we looked around and said, my gosh, they're invisible in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were looking into Europe and seeing the beginning. It was just the beginning. We didn't have it in America yet, but the beginning of anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
And we would read reports in France and in Hungary, and we were shocked. And, of course, now we have it on our college campuses. So
mm-hmm.
that's there are many messages in this movie. One is certainly one of his famous sayings. Bonhoeffer's famous saying was, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. And
mm-hmm.
Bonhoeffer meant you die to your flesh, you die to your ego, your ambitions, your pride. You. It's a total commitment to Christ. You know, Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. So that's one of the great messages. But then there are these messages of speaking for those who have no voice,
mm-hmm.
for speaking truth without fear, you know.
Well, I want to ask, Camille, would you take a moment now to pray for listeners who that will get a chance to see the movie and that God would really speak to their heart in it? Because, you know, just the way life is, 10 different people may hear 10 different messages through one tool like a movie such as this. But the fact is, every believer is called to courageously follow Christ, no matter what they're called to do. Yet, to be very honest, a lot of times people don't realize how much fear slips in to discourage us from standing up to speak truth when it needs to happen, to be willing to be God's vessel, to share truth, to share light where it's needed. And the fact is, many times, cowardice can slip up on people in so many ways. So would you pray for believers to really receive, when they see the movie, what God would have them receive through the message?
Yes, it would be an honor. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for this movie. You know, Lord God, the attacks we had by the enemy for 12 years, Lord. You know how many times he tried to stop us, how he attacked our families, our health, our hearts, everything, Lord God, our finances. And Father, we thank you that it's finally coming out. And Lord, we ask that you would draw your children to it, Lord God, because it so glorifies you, Lord Jesus. That's the thing about Bonhoeffer. He always points us to you, Jesus. And Father, we thank you that there are so many different messages in this movie, so many messages of that would speak to people who are suffering, people who perhaps are facing incredible challenges in incredible circumstances, in some case the similar monstrous evil that Bonhoeffer faced, Lord. And we know, Lord God, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind, Lord God. And we pray that that message will come through, that we do not need to fear, Lord. And so I pray that you would bind the fear that your children sometimes walk in, Lord God, that you would give them your courage, courage that comes from spending time with you, Lord God, courage that comes from spending time in the Word, Lord God, courage that comes from your Holy Spirit filling us, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that they would also see how much love you poured out on Bonhoeffer, even though at the end of the movie, Lord, you take his life, Lord. But as Bonhoeffer said, for him, death was the beginning of life, and we do have that hope that we'll live with you in eternity. Oh, Lord, I pray that every person that sees this movie would come out encouraged, inspired, and transformed, and would have a new love for you, that they would come out not lukewarm, but hot to serve you, Lord, and to spend time with you. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, just a question. One more time again. Share again when the movie is expected to be in theaters.
Yes, it's November 22, so it's next weekend. About, what is it, 10 days away, November 22nd, and it's a wide release, so it shouldn't be hard to find a theater. It's in more than 1,500, potentially growing to 2,000 screens right now, we're hearing, all across America. And, okay, you know, you can go on Angel Studios. They are the distributor. Mm-hmm. And you can find really discounted tickets, really reasonable tickets. They're giving lots of discounts. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a great movie to see with your Bible study or your church group, because it will engender so many conversations after. Mm-hmm. It would be a great thing, you know, to continue the conversation after the movie. You can only put so much in a 2-hour movie, but there's a lot to his life, and you know, we hope to, we've shown that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let me ask if Emmanuel and Camille, if you all would maybe, either one or both of you would like to respond to this, but if maybe one group in particular that might especially benefit from seeing this movie, who might that be? What persons would most benefit from seeing a movie like the movie Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Spy, Assassin?
Yeah, I would say, and I'll let Camille also join here, I would say that young people today, I mean, you know, I think it's important that they be encouraged to see what courage, because he, you know, Bonhoeffer was young. I mean, he was 20, just in his mid-20s when he did all, and when he really worked and achieved all he achieved, and he'd written all the books, and he's written so many books, mm-hmm. Cost of Discipleship and other books, to encourage people. So really, it's the young people that we hope will reach.
I mean, we've always said it's for everybody, you know, women, men, young and old. But when we look at the film now, we're just happy that the actor is, you know, the actor himself is 27, because our youth are growing up in a very confusing world, mm-hmm. a much coarser world that we grew up in, a world more hostile to Christianity than I grew up in. Mm-hmm. With the internet, they're being isolated. One of the reasons we want people to go to the movie is to see it in community, mm-hmm. Because you experience things differently in community. And kids are alone, they're watching on their iPad, and they don't have a lot of role models. They mm-hmm. don't have a lot of some of these young people don't have a lot of hope. And so here they'll see a movie about a man that, you know, he basically stood up against his church and his government. And the only thing that kept him going was his growing faith and how it was deepening. Mm. So we've had a lot of comments from mothers that have loved it, from men that have loved it. But they're telling us they love it. They want their young people to see it, their kids. So that's, you know, I think God is doing a work, will do a work with them. Yeah, and my husband just whispered schools. Mm-hmm. We want, you know, it's a good, we think the child should be at least 12. But high schools, that's where you want to grab these kids. I'm on the board of a school, a Christian school, and mm-hmm. our high school is going next week. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to be discussing it afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's...
It'd be great to get a discussion going with your young people, who are sort of high schoolers.
Mm-hmm. And college. I mean,
college to discuss and you know, it'll certainly challenge them mm-hmm. and focus them on Jesus.
Okay. We're coming up on a break, and we'll be right back in just a moment. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guests are Emmanuel and Camille Campouris, lead producers of the movie Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Spy, Assassin, that will be in theaters in a little over a week. We'll be right back. Music of Carrie Job with Forever. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a part of your family, the family of God, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to be both be a part of your family and to be a part of the wonderful work of spreading the gospel, the work of sharing with the world the fact that Jesus Christ is the answer to everything. And thank you for the privilege of not only sharing the gospel, being able to be disciples and make disciples as well. Lord, stir us more and more. Help us to become more passionate as you would by the power of your Spirit would have us to be passionate to be about your work every day of our lives. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that you never call us to live the life of a disciple in a laid-back, passive way, but you call us to be on fire, dedicated to the point where we're ready to give our lives for the cause of the gospel and the building of your kingdom. Help us to recognize, Lord, that the work of your church is the most important work and business in all of the world. Help us to live like we truly believe that. Set us on fire fresh of your Holy Spirit. Fill us anew with the Spirit and help us to live an on fire life for you for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guests today are Emmanuel and Camille Camporis. They are the lead producers of the movie Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Spy, Assassin. And again, Emmanuel and Camille, you said the movie does come out on November 22nd again, correct?
Yes. Correct, yes.
Right. And again, thank you all so much for coming on and share. Is there a website if someone just wants to learn more about the movie or learn more about some background of the movie?
Yeah, I think if you go to Angel Studios, that's Bonhoeffer, it'll come up there.
Okay. They are the distributors.
They're the distributors.
I see. Okay,
then. Producers, distributors, yes.
All right. Well, now also, I'm going to ask if you'll do two things. One is, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to explain the title. Of course, the title of the movie is Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Spy, Assassin. But also the movie powerfully addresses the tragedy of anti-Semitism. Would you speak to both of those issues?
Sure. Well, you know, Pastor, because when he came back and he saw from America and saw the rise of Hitler, the church was co-opted by the Lutheran church at the time was co-opted by Hitler. And they wanted to swear allegiance to him. And, of course, he rebelled against that. And he started what is called the Confessing Church. And he tried to encourage, and Confessing Church was quite wide. There were a lot of pastors there. But as time went on, he was intimidated. And they intimidated all the pastors there, and they threatened them. And they sent them, you know, so they began to... stop speaking, whereas he was speaking out. And however, there's still the confessing. So he started the Confessing Church. Then he started also an underground seminary where he invited a lot of the young people that wanted to be ordained, invited them to the seminary. It's called the Finkenwald Seminary in Germany. Mm-hmm. And that was shut down. Mm-hmm. So... wherever he went, and he was talking, he had a radio station where he spoke out, and that was shut down. So wherever he went, he was shut down.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he never stopped. He didn't actually have a radio. He's a guest of a radio station.
Yeah,
I know that's what you meant. But yeah, he was always had a pastor's heart. He was ordained at 25, and where others were cowed into silence, other pastors, he never stopped speaking out. And you want to talk about spy?
He became a spy because his brother-in-law was a part of the military intelligence and was part of the plot to eliminate Hitler, and he suggested to him that he should join. The intelligence service in Germany at the time, because that would stop him from being sent to the front or to being, essentially incarcerated. So he joined and became a spy. And that was, and he spied, but he was a double spy. He was spying for the Confessing Church and going out and trying to get support from various countries at that time.
Yeah, to overthrow Hitler. So he would... he could travel because he was a pastor, so they would give him papers mm-hmm. to travel with and give to, for instance, leaders and church leaders in England and Sweden. You hear the church bells. We live right across the street from a church. I don't know if you can hear that. And now, Assassin is interesting. He was actually not, someone actually took part in an assassination, but he was part of the plot in the sense that by this time he's a very respected deep thinker. He's respected for his courage. People that were against Hitler knew of him. He was rioting. He was being persecuted. He just kept going, and they asked him to join the plot almost as a person lending moral support, like as a pastor coming on and praying for these people. This is so it's not like a vigilante, like a man that says, "Oh, I'm going to kill an abortion clinic doctor on my own." This is a part of the government. This is a military intelligence. They are now seeing that Hitler is insane. They're trying to see how can they remove this head of state who's killing his own people, killing the Jews in huge numbers and killing others by invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And because Bonhoeffer was from a very well-connected family, he knew what many people in Germany did not know. So he knew this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he joins this plot to give them encouragement. You know, it's almost a coup they were going to do to remove the head of state, but they were also planning, if the coup didn't work, that they would assassinate him. It failed, and he eventually was arrested for being on the list of people who were in the plot and executed. And so we felt that if you just put the name Bonhoeffer, no one would know who he was, and Angel Studios really wanted some descriptive words. They actually picked these words, and so that was, you know, why the subtitle sort of,
Right. Well, you know, one thing I would mention is that, like, many people in the history of learning about World War II and learning about Germany during World War II don't know about the resistance that took place. And I think of, like, a movie like this one, and also you may recall the movie some years ago, Valkyrie, which depict people who were a part of the resistance and the courageous things they did. And so it's interesting to learn more about that kind of history that often can be missed if you're not aware of that. So, but
and it's actually, Pastor, it was that plot, the Valkyrie plot, that's the plot that, even though in the movie we had another plot, because there were many plots to kill Hitler,
mm-hmm.
but that was the plot where his name appeared on a list.
Mm.
They thought that plot would for sure work. And the British would come in, and, you know, other nations would come in and take over Germany and help it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about
right.
here.
Okay.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
No. I was just saying that talking about the Valkyrie, after he was executed. And the Bishop Niemöller, that was a key figure, was first with the Hitler, and then he realizes his error and changed. He was a famous bishop there,
mm-hmm.
and he was incarcerated as well, and he was managed to survive. And after the war, he was the he in fact actually encouraged the church, and they wrote the what they call the Stuttgart Declaration of Guilt, where they come in, and it's a famous statement whereby they confess that the church was complicit, that the church, through the church, a lot of evil was done, and the church did not oppose it. It's a very interesting, and it's in our movie.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the movie, it describes that statement, which is a very important statement, and a lot of people don't know about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they essentially repent because they didn't stand. You know, imagine how different the world back then would have been if the church stood really firm and fought Hitler. He would not have had the power to continue fighting them, but they just kind of caved, you know.
Mm-hmm. Something I would just mention in relation to the movie, and our time is almost gone, though, but one of the truths, one of the ways in which one could, I think, benefit from watching a movie like this is look for the patterns that you saw back in Germany, but look at the same patterns that may be happening right now in our own culture and in the other cultures of the world as well. Because sadly, these same kinds of things can happen over and over again in history if it's not resisted by the people of God. So, but again, thank you all so much for being with us today. And we really appreciate you being with us. And I want to invite every single listener to pray much for both Emmanuel and Camille Camporis as they continue to serve the Lord in this capacity. Pray for the movie as it comes out, that God would use it to accomplish in the hearts of those that see it what he wants to accomplish as well. So one more time, again, where would they go if they want to learn more about the movie?
Well, it's the Angel Studios - Bonhoeffer. On the website, it'll come up and tell them, and they'll probably, they can even search there and find out in which movie theaters it's been played.
They have discount tickets.
And have discount tickets as well.
And, Pastor, to your point, we are seeing the rise of anti-Semitism, which is an abomination, and I pray the church will stand against it.
That's exactly right. What you just said is so true. is that the church must stand against all this anti-Semitism.
It's almost Amen. Like we have the same prophet from 80 years ago saying the same message, you know, mm-hmm. about that, yeah.
Right.
Like you said, history repeats itself, yeah, if we're not vigilant.
That's right. That's right. But thank you all so much again for being with us, and we invite and encourage every listener to make it your goal to see this movie. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a great day, a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to commit your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, would you from your heart simply pray this prayer with us and give your life to Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent. And I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to live what I learn daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you committed your life to Christ and gave your life to the Lord, we want to be in touch with you. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. And please, again, pray much for Emmanuel and Camille and Camporis as the time comes for the movie to be in theaters, and pray for the Lord to use the movie as he would desire as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.